With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Great Gary Myers, esteemed author. He does stuff for The Athletic. Of course, his books are all award-winning New York Times bestsellers, Brady Manning, My First Coach, plus the latest, How About Them Cowboys, an inside look at the Dallas Cowboys and Jerry's world. Gary, Happy New Year. Hope everything's well. Thanks for coming on the bench again.
Hey, it's always good to talk to you, Scott. What's going on?
So there's a lot happening. I want to go through a litany of things with you. First of all, are you surprised at all in some of these NFL hirings? First of all, the former Hockey Hall of Famer Guy LaFleur being hired by the Packers. And then, of course, today, Cliff Kingsbury, with all of his wins in college that I can count on one hand, getting the Cardinals job, Arians the Buccaneers job. And then there's so many other things going on. But of the ones that have landed, what do you think of these recent hires?
Well, Matt LaFleur, not to be confused with Guy LaFleur, he definitely benefits by teams want to find the next Sean McVay. He worked with Shanahan and he worked with McVay, and the Packers wanted somebody who would bring a lot of these concepts that you're seeing in the NFL now with the passing game to Aaron Rodgers, who I think grew tired of Mike McCarthy not, moving with the times and just running the old West Coast offense in Green Bay. I'm a little surprised that, the Packers were the first ones to hire somebody, and it was a guy who I didn't really think there was much competition for, but they wanted to bring in an offensive coach. I thought there was a good chance that maybe that Pat Fitzgerald from Northwestern would go there because of his relationship with Mark Murphy, who was the AD at Northwestern when Fitzgerald was hired. Kingsbury, to me, either he's going to be great or he's going to be gone just as quickly as Steve Wilks, because he had a losing record at Texas Tech. I don't know what kind of staff he can put together. We do know that his offensive schemes and, like, the air raid offense worked really well in college, and a lot of the NFL teams are going to that. And his number one thing is making sure that Josh Rosen becomes a really good quarterback. But he's going to have it's going to be interesting to see what kind of staff he can put together, because he's never worked in the NFL as a coach for one day, and now he's got to get people to come work for him. So we'll see what happens there. But it's a kind of a typical Cardinals move. They tend to do things that surprise you. And then Bruce Arians, a 66-year-old guy who's had some health issues. I thought he was done with coaching when he left the Cardinals, because the health issues and family issues, he wants to spend more time with his family, which is what you always hear.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah. But you know what? To be honest with you, after listening to a couple of games here in New York, that he was, I think he worked for CBS this year. I can see why he wanted to get back into coaching, because I didn't think he had much of a future in television. I'm not trying to be really critical of him, but geez, some of these games I watched, Scott, I just wasn't impressed. It was hard to hear him, and I just didn't think he had the personality to be a broadcaster. So maybe he realized that as well. And he had worked with Jason Light in Arizona. Jameis Winston apparently went to his summer camp one year. That's a big project there. I think Winston's got a ton of ability. He just needs somebody to draw it out of him.
So he hired, it appears, Todd Bowles.
Right.
And then Leftwich is going to be the pass game coordinator, whatever that is. And then I guess, and then I even saw, who else? He signed Harold Goodwin as run game coordinator, and then Clyde Christensen as quarterback coach. whatever that means. And then I saw that Dirk Koetter ended up going back to the Atlanta Falcons. Now, let me ask you about this, Gary Myers. Mike McCarthy is saying tonight, according to Adam Schefter, he's reporting that that McCarthy has made it be known as of tonight, apparently, that it's either the Jets or nothing. He doesn't want any other interviews or jobs. It's the Jets or bust. Do you believe that they'll hire him? I don't understand their thinking on this rule guy. I'm not buying the rule thing any more than I'm buying Kingsbury being successful at Arizona. I'm just not buying it.
Well, as far as McCarthy saying the Jets are nothing, that's kind of what his choices are right now. Because apparently the Browns are no longer interested in him, and he didn't have any other interviews. So it's not like he's ruling everybody out. It's nobody else has ruled him in. And I'm not even sure the Jets are going to hire him. So McCarthy might have no choice but to sit out a year. Because if the Jets don't want him, then there's no other team that's even asked to interview him. I hear that Cleveland is leaning towards, at least this point, just promoting Freddie Kitchens, who took over as offensive coordinator after Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley were fired, and really got Baker Mayfield playing very well. And so he could wind up getting promoted to be the head coach. In any event, they blocked him from interviewing for any offensive coordinator jobs in the event that they hire a defensive coach. They're going to keep Kitchens as the offensive coordinator. So, I think Adams reported, I hadn't seen that, but I'm sure it's right, because those appear to be McCarthy's only two choices at this point, is either coaching the Jets if they want him, or living in Green Bay and waiting to see, what happens next year.
Gary Myers with us. I got to ask you, what do you think of Andy Reid's struggles in the postseason? And what he's got staring him down on Saturday with the way Andrew Luck and the Colts are playing. I mean, I literally think the Colts can beat anyone in the NFL right now, anywhere.
I mean, they're red hot. Andy Reid, to me, there's been no better coach in the NFL from September through December, and no worse coach in January and then the first Sunday in February, the one time he made it, than Andy Reid. I mean, his teams are always great in the regular season. They do have a pattern, though, of getting off to these really great starts, 6-2, 7-1, 8-0, and then fading a little bit down the stretch. And I think you saw some of that with Kansas City this year. But, Scott, I mean, two of the playoff games that he's lost so far in Kansas City were just horrific. They had a 38-10 lead early in the third quarter against the Colts a few years ago. And then last year, they're up 21-3 on Tennessee at home at halftime, and they lost that game. His game management and fourth quarter strategy has been mind-boggling. He made it to five NFC championship games, in Philadelphia, and only won one of them. And then when he made it to the Super Bowl, I'm getting all choked up here talking to you.
It's all right,
when
Gary.
He made it to the Super Bowl that year, when they were trying to come back against the Patriots late in the fourth quarter, the way he conducted the offensive series was if they were down three with a chance to win it instead of being down two scores and having to score quickly once. I just don't get him in January. And I think he is the biggest impediment. And he's a really nice man, so I hate saying this, but I think that Andy is the biggest impediment to the Chiefs getting to the Super Bowl, because he always does something to screw it up in January. I mean, it's true, right?
It is.
And Kansas City's lost some unbelievable playoff games between Marty Schottenheimer and Andy now. They've lost so many times as the number one seed. They've blown so many leads. It's unbelievable.
And they've gotten smoked by the Colts four times. We'll come back with Gary Myers. We got a lot to talk about. I want to hit the Brady. Is he declining? You certainly know a lot about Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. But I got to look at what's going on with Brady. Do you think he'll handle the Chargers? And I want to talk about Dak against Goff, all that with Gary Myers coming up. We're talking about the divisional round with Gary coming up. We're talking to Gary Myers. And I want to ask you, do you think you wrote about Brady a lot, the Brady Manning book and everything? Like, as you watch him now, a lot of people are writing all these stories about him that he's old and he's it's the beginning of the end. He's washed up and all this other nonsense. What do you think he's like right now going into this divisional playoff run this year as they start up their postseason on Sunday?
I think he's energized and really motivated to shut people up who think that he's 41, playing like a 41-year-old quarterback. I mean, he's been defying logic in NFL history for quite a while now. You know, at some point, Scott, it's got to catch up to him, right? I mean, he's 41 years old and playing at a level at this age that nobody's ever done before. So at some point, he's going to play like he's past 40. But I'm going to reserve judgment on that until I see how he plays in the playoffs, because I think he was really handcuffed this year by a limited Gronk and then Josh Gordon getting suspended and taking away his best deep threat, not having the weapons around him that he's had in the past. It's almost like Belichick has relied too much on him. He's relied so much on him over the years that he felt he didn't have to spend on his skill position players, but I think he took it to an extreme this year by not surrounding him with enough playmakers. And I think that has a lot to do with how he's looked for most of this season.
Do you think that the Patriots will be able to handle that Charger pass rush that looked so good in Baltimore with, like, you know, Melvin Ingram and, and Bosa and company? They destroyed Lamar Jackson's confidence. And if they get to Brady like this and throw him on his ass all day and make him have happy feet, we might have a game on our hands.
Oh, without question. And the Chargers usually could have been the number one seed here and not have to left home during the playoffs. But I think the Patriots are very vulnerable, that this might be the worst team that of the Brady Belichick era. And the fact that they got the number two seed is pretty startling, considering how they looked for most of the season. But I think with a team like the Patriots, you don't start judging them until the playoffs, because they're, you know, for the most part, their leadership, they have veteran leadership that's been to big games before, and the key for them was really just getting the bye. And like we were talking about before, Scott, I wouldn't be surprised if the Colts beat the Chiefs and the Patriots wind up with the AFC Championship game at home. I mean, I think both home teams could lose this week in the AFC. I wouldn't be shocked that, you know, if the Chargers go in there and beat them. If I had to pick a team to win that game, I still think New England has enough left, and Brady is still so good, I think, that he'll find a way to win this game. But, you know, the Chargers are a really dangerous team, and like you said before, the Colts are playing as well as anybody. So Indy can go in and beat Kansas City, and if the Patriots are able to protect the home field, they get the Deflategate revenge game 4 years later in the AFC Championship game against the Colts again.
So let me ask you, Gary Myers with us, do you think Goff will handle this game in the Coliseum against Dak Prescott and the Cowboys better than he handled Matt Ryan and the Falcons last year when they lost?
I'll tell you what. I would not be surprised if more than 50% of the fans at that game Saturday night were Cowboy fans. The Cowboys trained all but like 2 or 3 years in Southern California over the last, say, 40 years, and or the last 20 years, rather, because they did spend some time in Texas. But over the last 20 years or so, when the Rams were in St. Louis, the Cowboys were in Southern California, and they built up a huge following there in the summer. And you know, Cowboys, it's a funny thing about Cowboy fans. They don't travel like Steeler fans or Browns fans or Packer fans. But they don't have to, because there's so many Cowboy fans in every NFL city that they still get tremendous turnouts at these games. And I think that – I don't think the Rams have a home field advantage Saturday night. I really don't. I've seen games there when the Eagles are there and the Packers are there that it seemed like more fans were rooting for the other team than the Rams. And This could feel, this could very much feel like a road game for the Rams on Saturday night. And Goff did not play particularly well down the stretch. When they lost back-to-back games, I think he had like one touchdown, seven interceptions in the two games, something like that. And, you know, he and McVay, you know, everybody's looking for the next Sean McVay. We talked about this. But let's see if he – I know this is only a second shot at it, but I'd like to see him win a playoff game before they want every coach to be like Sean McVay.
Yeah, they've already canonized the guy. It's
amazing.
I think it's embarrassing. I mean, every day, that, you know what it is? It's like the hottest play of the day, whatever tastes delicious they run with. Like the same thing – certainly with football, it's like if you even know him, you now get a head coaching job. And then the same thing now in college basketball. They have turned this Zion Williamson kid into LeBron James and Michael Jordan. They're covering mm-hmm. him like no one else exists on the face of the earth than Duke basketball.
Right.
And I mean, I just think sports television today is it's outrageous. It's everywhere. It's unavoidable. It's unbelievable. It's enough information to drown in. But I think about 70% of it is piping hot dog cable. Let me ask you.
I just want to throw in there.
Right.
Watch the narrative on Sean McVay change if they do lose to the Cowboys on Saturday night, because you know how quickly things change. And it's a copycat league. And,
right.
You know, it's a league where you make judgments based on the most recent results. And if McVay loses for the second year in a row at home in the playoffs, I just don't think you're going to be hearing, we got to find the next Sean McVay so much anymore. I think he's a great coach, and he's done a great job with Jared Goff. But like I said, can he win a playoff game first before we put him in Canton?
Yeah, I mean, it really is unbelievable. And how do you feel about, and I'm sick and tired of it, to be honest with you, the Eagles and Saints, everybody keeps saying we're going to see a different Eagles team than the first time. And I think the only difference is that they're playing better, and they won out the last three, and then they won in Chicago because the kid shanked the kick. I don't care if it was tipped. All I know is he hit the double upright crossbar. All I know is they lost. Eagles advance. I still have a problem believing they're going to beat the Saints in Bourbon Street.
I think this is going to be the least competitive game of the four this weekend. That I think that the magic of Nick Foles has been a great story. I mean, there's no denying that. But I think it just runs out here. The Saints, if this game was in Philadelphia, I would feel differently. But the Saints are such a different team at home that they're just really difficult to stop. And they just blew out the Eagles not that long ago. I just don't think all that much has changed to expect a different result.
Yeah, and then do you feel when you watch Foles, are you amazed at what he's been able to do with this team, and how it's so funny that all they ever talk about is, you know, where's he going next year, instead of living in the moment and what's he going to do this week? I care about this game. I don't care about where he's going to the Giants or wherever else. I'm sick of hearing about it because I think wherever he goes, he's going to bomb. And I think he's going to get booed. And I think he's going to be a guy that makes a lot of money that's not going to live up to it.
Well, I mean, the last time he went out on his own, so to speak, when he went to the Rams, it didn't work out so well. And he nearly quit football. And then got energized, you know, going with Andy Reid in Kansas City, and came back here and has gotten to Philly and has gotten some great chances to play at the most important time of the year, and he's come through. But he might be one of those guys that you take him out of the system now that he's so comfortable with Doug Peterson, and he's liable to, you know, revert to being, you know, a pretty average quarterback. I think the Eagles can have a really interesting decision to make, especially if he can win one more of these games. Even without getting to the Super Bowl, they can afford Nick Foles next year, picking up the $20 million option. And if he wants to stay, you know, accepting it, because Carson Wentz is only making $720,000 next year. So it's a bizarre situation of paying the guy who you would presume would go back to being the backup next year $20 million and the start is $720,000. But we see how valuable he is, and how Wentz has a very difficult time staying on the field. So is it worth $20 million to the Eagles to have this incredible insurance policy, you know, for at least one more season?
All right, Gary, fabulous stuff tonight. Talking about everything, all the coaching hires and moves of coaches around the league and heading into the divisional round on Saturday and Sunday. Doubleheaders both days. Always great having you on the bench on CBS Sports Radio. Gary, thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Scott. If I can just mention, anybody who's interested in reading my Cowboys book, you can get it on Amazon or any bookstore. And we didn't even talk about Jerry Jones' $250 million yacht.
Yeah, I wish I had a $250 million yacht. We'll talk about that next time when we're on, when you and I go sailing together. Thanks, Gary.
There you go. Take care, Scott.
All right, there he is, Gary Myers of formerly the Daily News, now a huge author and, of course, award-winning writer, and certainly does stuff for The Athletic as well, and he comes on the bench frequently. And there you have it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.